If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Kid Stories Podcast. I'm Phil Bechtel. Let's get into a shout-out. Zakai commented on Spotify, "I think if you were a character in the stories, you would be the picture master, and you would have the power to make any picture come to life, and you would draw all kinds of creatures and characters and bring them to life to help you defeat the evil soothsayer of Swamp Hill." Thanks for listening, Zakai. Today's episode is titled Mind Crystal Mystery Part 4. The sun had barely risen when four bleary-eyed students met at the edge of the academy grounds. Dew still clung to the grass, and the morning air was chilly enough to make their breath visible. "Everyone remember the plan?" Lucy asked, holding up Hamish's brass lens. "We start at the perimeter and work our way around." "How exactly does that thing work?" Henry yawned, still half asleep despite the excitement of their mission. Lucy held the lens up to her eye. "When I look through it, I can see magical energy. It shows up as colored light." She scanned the area slowly. "Nothing yet. Let's try over by that big oak tree." They approached the ancient oak that stood near the eastern boundary of the academy grounds. Lucy raised the lens again and gasped. "I see something," she whispered excitedly. "There's a red glow coming from the ground near the base of the tree." The others stood behind Lucy and looked through the lens to see what she saw. Looking through this ancient artifact made everything a little blurry, kind of like if you were to squint. And they saw on the ground near the tree was a little twinkle of red light. "Should we dig it up?" Peary asked. Holly shook her head. "We shouldn't touch it yet, not until we know more about how they work." "Let me look," Henry said, taking the lens from Lucy. He peered through it and got excited. "Whoa, it's like a little red star buried in the dirt. And there's this energy coming off it, like red veins stretching out." Henry tilted the lens just a tiny bit, and red, jagged lines of light seemed to spread from the little red bright spot. "Which way do the veins go?" Holly asked. Henry turned slowly. "That way," he said, pointing along the perimeter. They followed the direction Henry indicated, moving carefully along the boundary of the academy grounds. Every 50 paces or so, Lucy would check with the lens, and they'd find another buried crystal. "They're making a circle," Peary realized after they'd found the fourth crystal, "around the entire academy." "But why?" Henry wondered. "What happens when the circle is complete?" Holly's expression was grim. "Nothing good. According to that book we found, when crystals like these are arranged in a circle or other patterns, they can create a field of influence. Everyone inside would be affected." "Like the trolls," Lucy said quietly, "with the red eyes. Instead of brainwashing us one by one with the red crystals, she's going to try and do it all at once to everyone at the academy." A chill that had nothing to do with the morning air ran through the group. "We need to find all of them," Peary said. "Map out the whole circle." By the time the breakfast bell rang, they had located 8 crystals, forming an incomplete circle around the academy. There were still gaps, particularly on the western and northern sides. "We'll have to continue later," Lucy said, pocketing the lens. We can't miss classes or someone will get suspicious. Let's meet at lunch, Holly suggested. I'll draw up a map of where we've found the crystals so far. Professor Kate's transformation class was usually Peary's favorite, but today she could barely focus. She kept watching Kate for any sign that might confirm their suspicions. The professor moved among the students with her usual grace and enthusiasm, offering encouragement and corrections as they practiced transforming small objects into other forms. Remember, visualization is key, Kate explained, helping a struggling student. You must see the change clearly in your mind before it can happen in reality. Peary stared at the marble she was supposed to be transforming into a cube, something pretty simple for her level of magic ability. But instead of concentrating on the spell, she was thinking about the red crystals and the trolls with glowing eyes. There was something in Kate's expression that made Peary uneasy, a calculating look that disappeared as soon as their eyes met, replaced by the professor's usual warm smile. Excellent progress, Peary, Kate called out, though I notice your concentration seems a bit scattered today. Perhaps you didn't sleep well? Peary's heart raced. Oh, I'm fine, Professor, just thinking about a lot of things. I see, Kate replied. Would you mind staying for a moment after class? I'd like to discuss your progress. Peary nodded, trying to look normal despite the panic rising in her chest. Did Professor Kate suspect something? As the other students filed out at the end of class, Peary remained in her seat, trying not to feel too nervous. Henry caught her eye as he left, a worried expression on his face. When the room was empty except for the two of them, Professor Kate closed the door with a wave of her hand. Now then, Peary, she said, leaning against her desk, I want to talk to you about your shape-shifting abilities. Peary swallowed hard. My abilities? Yes, they're quite remarkable for someone your age. In fact, I've rarely seen such natural talent. Kate's smile seemed genuine, but Peary couldn't help feeling there was something predatory about it. I'm curious, what's the largest creature you've been able to transform into? The question seemed innocent enough, but Peary was on guard. A deer, I think. I don't usually try anything larger. And the smallest? A mouse, Peary answered truthfully. Or no, I did a butterfly before. I see, Kate said. Well, I believe you have tremendous potential, Peary. With the right guidance, you could become quite powerful. She paused, studying Peary's face. You remind me of myself at your age. So eager to learn, to explore. She moved around her desk and opened a drawer. I've been meaning to give you this. A little token to encourage your studies. Kate held out a small box. Inside was a silver pendant in the shape of a bird. Peary held it up and noticed that on the pendant, where the bird's eye would normally be, was a tiny red crystal. It's enchanted, Kate explained. It will help you maintain your transformations longer. Consider it a gift. Peary stared at the pendant, unsure of what to do. She was certain that the tiny red crystal in the pendant was a piece of the same red crystals they'd been looking for and finding on the academy grounds. Oh, thank you, Professor, she said, reluctantly taking the box. That's very kind. You're welcome, Kate replied. Oh, and Peary, one more thing. I couldn't help but notice you and your friends seemed quite tired this morning. I hope you're not staying up too late. The Academy has rules about curfew for good reason. There was something in Kate's tone that made Peary's skin crawl, a hint of suspicion beneath the concern. No, Professor, we're just up late studying. How dedicated, Kate said with a small smile. Well, run along then, don't be late for your next class. As Peary hurried from the room, clutching the box with the pendant, she couldn't shake the feeling that Professor Kate knew exactly what they had been doing last night, and what they had discovered that morning. Peary found the others waiting for her at their usual lunch table. As soon as she sat down, she pulled out the small box. Look what Professor Kate gave me, she whispered, opening it to reveal the bird pendant. Lucy gasped. Is that a red crystal? Holly confirmed, leaning in for a closer look. Right there in the eye. She's trying to control you, like the trolls, Henry said. Keep your voice down, Peary hissed, glancing around nervously. I don't think it works just by wearing it. Remember what the book said? The crystals have to be activated somehow? Lucy carefully took the pendant, examining it without touching the crystal. We should show this to Hamish. Not now, Holly said, spreading a piece of parchment on the table. First, look at this. It was a detailed map of the academy grounds. Holly had marked 8 red X's along the perimeter where they had found the buried crystals. I've been thinking about the pattern, she explained. Based on the spacing of the crystals we've found so far, there should be about 12 in total to complete the circle. So 4 more to go, Henry said. And they're likely to be here, 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 and here, Holly continued, marking 4 spots on the map. These are the gaps in the circle. We'll need to watch those spots tonight, Lucy decided. If Kate is going to complete the circle, she'll have to place the crystals in those locations. Yeah, we can take shifts, Peary suggested, 2 of us watching while the other 2 rest. That's going to be the perfect time, Holly finished. We need to stop her tonight before she completes the circle. They spent the rest of lunch finalizing their plan. After their afternoon classes, they would meet at Hamish's workshop to show him the pendant and then prepare for their night watch. Remember to act normal in classes, Lucy warned as they prepared to leave. We can't let Kate suspect that we're on to her. That afternoon dragged by, each minute feeling like an hour. In magical history, Henry could barely keep his eyes open, exhausted from their early morning crystal hunt. In elemental magic, Lucy accidentally created a small whirlwind instead of a simple breeze, her concentration broken because she was so distracted. Finally, classes ended, and they made their way to Hamish's outdoor workshop. The purple dragon was crushing something with a mortar and pestle when they arrived, his massive claws delicately handling the small tools. Ah, our young investigators, he rumbled. Find anything interesting? Yes, Peary said, holding out the box with the pendant. Professor Kate gave me this today. Hamish carefully picked up the pendant with his claw tips, examining the red crystal embedded in the bird's eye. Most concerning, he muttered. This crystal is similar to the ones you described, but smaller. Refined. He held it up to the light. What does that mean? Henry asked. Well, it means, Hamish explained, that had Peary put this on, it would have left her likely under the control of whoever is planning on activating the crystal. Kate, Lucy said. Hamish nodded. Most likely. Though without definitive proof. We found 8 crystals buried around the academy this morning, Holly interjected, showing him her map. They form an incomplete circle. Hamish studied the map, his expression growing more serious. This is worse than I feared. A full circle of these crystals would create a barrier, and anyone inside would be completely vulnerable to mind control. We think she's going to complete the circle tonight, Peary said, and then use it to control everyone. Hamish set the pendant down carefully. Well, then you've got to keep an eye on her. He moved to a large cabinet and began pulling out various items. Here, these are protective amulets, he explained, handing each of them a small stone on a leather cord. They won't completely block the crystal's influence, but they'll buy you some time if you're caught in their effect. What about the crystals that are already placed? Lucy asked. Can we remove them? Hamish shook his head. Once placed, these crystals are protected by their own defensive spells. Our best chance is to catch Kate in the act and confront her directly. Then we can break the connection between the crystals and remove them safely. But she's a fully trained wizard, Holly pointed out, and we're just students. Ah, together you're stronger than you think, Hamish assured them, and I'll be nearby if you need me. I cannot directly accuse a fellow teacher without evidence, but I can certainly respond to a disturbance. As dusk approached, they finalized their plan. Lucy and Peary would watch the western gap in the crystal circle, while Henry and Holly monitored the northern one. Remember, Hamish warned as they prepared to leave, don't engage her alone. Observe and report. Only together will you stand a chance. Darkness had fallen completely by the time Lucy and Peary took their position behind a large bush near the western perimeter. The moon was nearly full, providing enough light to see by without revealing their hiding spot.
"Do you think she'll come?"
Peary whispered, fiddling with the protective amulet around her neck.
"Oh, I think she'll come. I think she's going to try and do this before Professor Pilsen gets back,"
Lucy replied. She held up Hamish's lens, scanning the area.
"The crystals are still there, pulsing with energy."
An hour passed with no sign of Professor Kate. The night grew colder, and Peary found herself shivering, despite her warm cloak.
"Maybe we should go check on Henry and Holly," Lucy said. "Come on."
They crept along the perimeter, staying in the shadows of trees and bushes until they reached the northern section where Henry and Holly were supposed to be watching. They found Henry crouched behind a boulder, invisible except for his head, which appeared to be floating in midair, and Holly crouching in a shadow nearby. Henry noticed them and whispered,
"Look, over there."
He pointed to a clearing through some trees, and they could make out a figure in a dark cloak. Not Kate's usual lavender, but a deep red that blended with the shadows. And behind her, hulking and massive, was a cave troll with glowing red eyes.
"She's changed her cloak," Lucy whispered. "No wonder we didn't spot her earlier."
They watched as Kate knelt on the ground, the troll handing her something from a bag it carried. She began digging a small hole, movements precise and practiced.
"She's placing a crystal," Peary said. "Should we try to stop her?" "Let's wait until she turns around. Try and surprise her," said Peary.
As they watched, Kate placed the crystal in the hole and covered it with dirt. She passed her hand over the spot, murmuring words they couldn't hear, and that spot of ground flashed red for a second. Lucy quickly checked with the lens.
"The crystal's connected to the others now. The energy's flowing between them."
Kate stood and consulted what looked like a map in her hands. She spoke to the troll, pointing toward the western section, exactly where Peary and Lucy had been hiding earlier.
"She's heading for the last gap," Peary realized. "We need to stop her now before she completes the circle."
The kids crept forward, trying to slowly close the space between them before they sprung. But they were interrupted by a loud snap as Henry accidentally stepped on a stick. Kate's head turned toward the sound, her eyes narrowing.
"Who's there?"
she called, her voice sharp and commanding. The troll growled, a low, menacing sound that made Peary's hair stand on end. Henry, still partially invisible, froze. Lucy and Peary ducked lower behind the boulder. For a moment, nothing moved. Then Kate raised her hand and a ball of red light appeared above her palm, illuminating the area around them.
"I know you're there, children," she said, her voice eerily calm. "Come out now, and I promise I won't be too upset about your little nighttime adventure."
They stayed hidden, hardly daring to breathe. The troll began to lumber toward their hiding place, its red eyes scanning the area. Kate sighed.
"Very well. Make this difficult if you must."
She flicked her wrist, and the ball of light moved, sweeping across the ground like a searchlight.
"Run!"
Henry hissed, becoming fully visible as he darted to the side. The troll immediately charged after him, faster than something so large should be able to move. Lucy scrambled in the opposite direction, trying to draw Kate's attention away from the others. Peary transformed into a falcon, taking to the air where the troll couldn't reach her. From above, she could see Kate raising her hands, red energy gathering at her fingertips as she aimed at Lucy and Holly. Without thinking, Peary dove, transforming back into her human form just in time to tackle the girls out of the way as a blast of red energy scorched the ground where they had been standing.
"You disappoint me, Peary,"
Kate called out, her voice carrying easily through the night air.
"I offered you my guidance, my trust, and this is how you repay me? Spying? Interfering?"
The troll had cornered Henry against a tree, its massive arms reaching for him. In desperation, Henry turned invisible again, ducking between the troll's legs and rolling away.
"I know everything,"
Kate continued, advancing slowly toward Peary and the girls, who were scrambling to their feet.
Your midnight trip to the Dark Mountain? Your meeting with those filthy goblins? Your early morning expedition to find my crystals?
Red energy crackled around her fingertips as she raised her hands again.
I had such high hopes for you, Peary. Your abilities would have been so useful to me. Now you'll just have to be the first Academy student to join my army.
As the red energy gathered at her fingertips, Peary, Lucy, and Holly braced themselves, the protective amulets suddenly feeling very inadequate against the power facing them.
The end. Thanks for listening, friends. The website is kidstoriespodcast.com. Send all your drawings and things to kidstoriespodcast@gmail.com. Adios.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.